This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne. We're here where we talk at your noon hour about all things having to do with quality of life, cost of life, institutions, ideas, individuals, initiatives in the Mid-Valley, specifically on Salem-Keizer in the region. So welcome and thanks for being with us. We've got something to talk about today. This is an institution that probably has more impact than just about any institution in the region.
Really?
On quality of life, on people's lives, especially their health. And what is it? It's Salem Health. Salem Health has a huge footprint, a huge impact on Salem and its citizens in terms of fixing us when we're broken, healing us when we're sick, and keeping us healthy. And on top of that, I think it's the largest private sector employer in the area. So with us today is Leilani Slama. Did I say that well?
You did.
Okay. I hope to not stumble across that at all this hour. But Leilani is the Vice President of Community Engagement for Salem Health, Salem Hospital, Salem Health. It's a big umbrella now. Well, welcome to the show.
It is. Thanks for having me.
So Vice President of Community Engagement, do you want to tell us what that means?
Sure. Really what that means is that any connection that we have with the community falls under my realm. So I oversee a variety of departments, marketing and communications, community outreach, health education, our volunteer services, both our foundations, so Salem Hospital Foundation and West Valley Foundation. And then employee fitness falls in there as well. So we have a connection with trying to keep our own employees well and be role models for the community.
How long have you been in the position?
This position, I've been there 2 years. I've been with Salem Health a total of 5.
Okay. Wow. Do you find, that is a long list of programs you have to oversee. Does that get, do they add them every 6 months and you get, hey, Leilani, why don't you take care of this
Sometimes
one too?
Sometimes it feels like they do.
Okay. Well, thank you for, there's a lot to do and a lot to look after in the community. So thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. Let's do
a little bit of groundwork because we're going to talk about how many different facilities they have in the Mid-Valley, where people can go, and what it is the umbrella organization governs. So what kind of organization is Salem Health?
Well, Salem Health is a nonprofit organization. It's governed by a volunteer board of trustees, and we have both Salem Hospital and West Valley Hospital in Dallas, as well as 7 primary care clinics scattered around the Mid-Valley area and an urgent care clinic, which is located on Bellevue across from Willamette University.
Right. So 7 private care facilities?
Primary care facilities, correct.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And they're throughout Salem, Keizer, surrounding area?
Yeah, Monmouth, Independence, and Dallas as well.
And so the West Valley, obviously that is in Dallas.
Yes.
I know exactly where it is. I was in the emergency department actually not that long ago. So we were able to find it, get in and out, and get some help. So we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So when did that affiliation take place? How long is Salem Health?
We purchased West Valley. It's got to be close to 13 or 14 years ago now. And so that's been in place for a long time. We've been really fortunate with West Valley because there's a lot of employees who were there prior to Salem Health owning it. And it's such a great, tight-knit community that they've really got a wonderful hospital there and people that know each other, and they're very connected to the community. It's really fun. You know, every year they have Summerfest, and our chief administrative officer and director of operations and a lot of the nurses put together a float, and the community just loves to see them come out.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I know that, the West Valley, we're talking about crossing the river and getting it Independence, Monmouth, Dallas, that's a different breed over there. And I've joined them. So it's nice. It is nice. And then they treated us well. And Salem. Okay. So Salem Keizer, there's a board of trustees overseeing Salem Health.
Correct.
And how many trustees?
We have 15.
And how many live in the community?
13.
Wow. That is great. Okay, so they're local people that help govern the organization and see its way. Then they obviously hire a management team.
Yes.
Right. And we have, how many, well, you're a vice president. How many people at the top?
So there are 14 executives that oversee the various elements of the, you know, it's a hospital, but there's all kinds of things that happen behind the scenes mm-hmm. that you may or may not think about. This morning I was rounding with our facilities director, and they're doing, checks of our generators to make sure that if there's a power outage that the generators are up and running and that there's absolutely no downtime. If someone's in the middle of an operation and we have a power outage, the generator kicks in with complete fluidity. So we have all those kinds of things that are mm-hmm. happening. Of course, we have our environmental services crew that are making sure that everything's clean and sanitary for our patients. And we have a landscaping crew that makes things look good. We have, you know, people that are running our parking to make sure that people can find a place to park when they get there.
And the finances,
patient transport, nutrition services. You know, everybody wants to eat while they're in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of things that you don't see just at a quick glance, but it's quite an operation.
Oh, wow. So how many employees for Salem Health?
We have about 4,000 employees.
4,000 employees.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
the economic footprint, the economic impact of those employees must be enormous.
Significant.
Wow. All right. Now, you do, and you touched on this a little bit, but Salem Health has a role in health education.
Correct.
For the public. And how does that work as far as the covering the costs of it, doing the outreach and things like that? Mm-hmm. Is that through doctor referral and you should take this class on diabetes management, or how does that work?
It really runs the gamut. So the Community Health Education Center was funded by a capital campaign back in 2000. It actually opened in 2009. The campaign was about 2.5 years. The foundation raised $4 million to create the education center. And it is a number of things. It's our health education outreach, which the funding of that has switched over to the operations of Salem Hospital. So they pay for that. It has a library. It's both a staff library, so we subscribe to all of the journals, everything online. There's a lot of books in print, journals in print, so any employee can go into that staff library and access up-to-date information. Community can come to the community library, and we have books, DVDs. We have anatomically correct models that people can check out. They can borrow. They can consult with a nurse. And then out of that same education center, we run our diabetes and weight management clinic. So folks can come in if they've been newly diagnosed. They can work with a nutritionist. They can work with a certified diabetes educator to learn about how to manage that disease, how to reach optimal health. That team also goes out into the community and does a number of different outreach activities, and they have certain topics they address, but they're also open to suggestions and ideas if you have something you really want to know about.
Yeah, that's interesting. And where does that reside? Is that in the main campus?
That is in Building D. So a lot of people know that as our birthing center, Building D. Oh. It's on the first floor. It's also the same building where Creekside, our dining option is, which is a great place for lunch if you're hungry.
I've been there. I had an office there nearby in the mm-hmm. neighborhood for a good 3-4 years. And I thought, I'm going to walk down to the hospital and have some lunch. And they are nice offerings. So, yeah, a good plug. Good plug.
So the hospital food's improved?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't a patient, so I didn't bring it up in a plastic tray. But, yeah, they've got a grill there. They have change specials all the time. So they've got a chef section. They've got a sandwich section and a grab-and-go section.
Lots of choices.
So it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
We're talking to Leilani Slama, Vice President of Community Engagement from Salem Health, who employs, Salem Health employs 4,000 people, and its impact on the Salem-Kaiser area and our health and our care. So 7 primary care, a couple of different hospital facilities, and growth to come. We're going to talk about that growth right after these messages. So stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Before we get back to the program, we have breaking news this afternoon. After being chased off, a man has fled out of Southeast home and refused to leave. Salem Police SWAT team is now working to get him out safely. No one was hurt, though, during the incident. Police activity in the Grant neighborhood has led the lockdown of North Salem High School and Parrish Middle School. Capitol Street Northeast at D Street and Sumner Street Northeast at Belmont Street Northeast are also currently blocked to traffic. We'll keep you up to date here on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hello and welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and we are in KYKN studios with our guest Leilani Slama, Vice President of Community Engagement at Salem Health. And this conversation is now going to turn to facilities. I'm curious, you have to be large enough to have economies of scale. You have to be large enough to be able to recruit specialists and have enough patients that it can support, you know, specialists of all these different kinds. And the size of Salem Health, and pretty good size. We talked about the 4,000 employees, but how big is too big? What are the growth plans, expansion plans? Obviously, West Valley Hospital was purchased, I think you said 13 years ago?
I think so.
And what's upcoming in the future in terms of how big will Salem Health get in its current footprint and beyond?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think the answer to how big is too big is our goal is to meet the needs of the healthcare needs of this community. And that's really important. We're the regional healthcare provider. Mm-hmm. So we're looking ahead. We're actually in the process of creating a 100-year plan in terms of facilities because we don't want to build anything that will prevent future generations from doing what needs to be done as we get down the road. So right now, our biggest concern is around that aging population. You know, the boomers, we're seeing a huge increase, and we've been working with PSU's Population Research Center to determine what exactly that means for us, because not only is the aging population growing, we have an influx of people moving to this area as they retire, and we know that older age group accesses healthcare at a much higher rate than younger folks. So we're planning ahead for that. So for the last 18 months, we've been kind of in due diligence studying that, the impact, looking at what that might mean for us. Do we need to add beds? If we add beds, what kind of beds do we need to add? Our focus is on lowering the cost of care in addition to making sure we can provide the care that's needed. So we've entered into a couple of different community partnerships to make sure that if there are things that can be moved from the inpatient setting to the outpatient setting, for example, joint replacements and those types of things, how are we partnering with our community physicians to accommodate that, to make sure people are getting the care they need, you know, in the right place at the right time and for an affordable amount.
Yeah, and affordable is always relative, right?
Always relative.
It's one of those things when you talk about there's lowering the cost, but it's, the argument in America is it's, the cost is already not affordable. It's very difficult, for a big challenge for a lot of families. Okay, of course, we've seen things that are procedures that used to require a hospital stay, and now you're doing the outpatient center, and that's
correct.
Building C?
Building C,
surgery.
Yes.
And so, and for those lucky people who have not had any opportunity or need to go to the campus, you have the new tower. We'll call it the new tower. Is that building?
Yeah, it's
building
10 years old, but right? We still refer to it as the new tower.
Yeah, new tower. Then the older structures, building B, as I recall.
Correct.
All right. See, I've been around the halls. And building C, a lot of time in building C, because you have friends and family that have procedures that require, you know, a day stay, and they may be general anesthesia. And there's actually a lot of specialty clinics inside the building as well.
There are, right.
And they're not necessarily affiliated with the hospital. They're lessees, and they're running clinics there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very popular place in a center for all these specialties. So how many beds is the right number of beds for our community, and what's the population growth as predicted by Portland State, right?
Yeah.
And when you say provide for the needs of the region, how do you define region?
We consider Marion and Polk counties as our primary service area. So when we're looking at population growth, we're looking specifically within those two counties.
Yeah, that's how we define it from KYKN, too. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much where we're heard. And we do have a lot of listeners in Polk County.
We do.
So, Marion, Polk counties, looking at, and a lot of people not familiar, but Portland State is kind of the authority in demographic data and growth and research. So, and looking into the future, 100-year plan, that's really tough because you can't really plan for diseases we've never heard of, birthing
and
rates.
100-year plan is more of a facilities plan. So making sure that as we look at our campus, you know, we're landlocked, right? It's not as if we can continue to acquire land. We have Bush Park to one side of us. We've got Willamette University. We've got, you know, essentially the highway 22. So we have to really consider all of that and use the land that we have to the best of our ability. So we're making sure that as we plan and we think about, you know, we know that we're going to probably need, if we add a tower, if we add, say, 120 beds in the next 5 years, that probably within 5 to 10 years after that, we're going to need to add another tower. Our goal is to eventually move out of Building B. We'd like to be able to accommodate all of the beds outside of Building B. So thinking about as we continue to move east and not west, how do we position those buildings in a way that we aren't going to compromise ourselves down the road if something else comes along? You know, where do people park? How does that impact traffic? And how do we mitigate that to the best of our ability? So lots of things in play, and we're trying to consider that as much as we can.
But there's already a new tower predicted and planned for.
We anticipate, you know, our board of trustees has not given the final approval for it, but in November they approved about $12 million to begin doing the design and research. So I think unless something really significant changes, we'll probably move ahead with that. Our hope is that we would be able to open that tower by mid-2022.
That's not very far away.
It's not very far away. It feels like a long ways away, but when you start to think about all of the construction and everything that goes into that, it's right around the corner.
It's really scary, but we're less than a year away from 2020.
Right.
Wow, that is crazy. Okay, and we're talking about a tower on that would be built upon the land, which is now the surface lot.
Actually, if you're familiar with Building A and where the emergency room parking is, mm-hmm. it would probably go over that. So Building A, we're calling this tower A2, and it would probably be an expansion of A2. So those would be connected. So, you know, that eliminates some parking, and so we have to start thinking about what else can we do to accommodate that, you know, encouraging people to get there using something other than single occupancy vehicles. But also knowing that when you're coming to see the doctor, you know, you're not typically riding your bike there or
not normally, no. Parking structure.
I broke my leg. I think I'll go ride my bike to the doctor. Yeah. So how will this building coming into the future, how do you think it'll serve the public differently? Are there changes in hospitals just like this change? We talked about the police facility last month. There's changing in how people place facilities work. There are also changes in how hospitals are going to work in the future and how they'll
Absolutely.
Be set up.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what, as I mentioned earlier, we're really trying to take a look at, are we providing the right care in the right place? And what care that we're currently providing in the hospital now could be moved to a different setting? So you probably know that our emergency room at Salem Hospital is the busiest emergency room between San Francisco and the Canadian border.
I did not know that.
We are incredibly busy. And a good portion of that is people who are there for things that could be seen and addressed by an urgent care clinic or by a primary care physician. But because we have challenges around access to care in this area, people often end up in the emergency room. So we're looking at ways, how can we improve access? How can we create virtual care visits? So having a visit for a sore throat or pink eye over the phone, you know, just on a virtual care, you know, you're FaceTiming mm-hmm. with a physician. There's also, you can have an email visit with a physician. So we've launched that. Looking into just ways, how do we make this, the people who are actually in a bed in the hospital, the sickest people, and anybody who maybe doesn't need to be there is getting the care that they need elsewhere. Currently, we are what is considered full. We range around 85% occupied in the hospital, which, because you can't use every single bed for any patient who comes into a hospital, that's considered full. You can't put a cancer patient into a neonatal intensive care unit bed. You just can't mm-hmm. do that. So we have to really consider, what is the need and how is the community going to grow, and how do we make sure we address those needs in the future?
Holy cow. That's quite a task.
It's quite an algorithm, too, to try and figure out.
So I know that a lot of there's trends in the marketplace to use, instead of the emergency room and, you know, your doctor's not open as you go to urgent care.
Correct.
Or one of them. There's models and there's franchises and such as that. Are those competitions or are they nice partners or just a nice addition in the marketplace for you guys.
Yeah, we
and you probably don't want to see the strep throat person in the ER.
We would prefer not to, yeah. But we also want that person to get the care they need. And if they've called their primary care doc and they can't get in for a week and a half, we completely understand that that's not acceptable.
And Salem Health has an urgent care.
We do have an urgent care.
Where is it located?
It's located on Bellevue, so kind of the corner of Winter and Bellevue, right across from Willamette University.
Okay, so when they come into the ER, is it an option to say, hey, can you get to go across the street?
It is not an option. No, there is there's a federal law, it's called EMTALA, and I can't tell you exactly what that stands for, but anytime someone is within 200 feet of our doors, we are required to serve them. And that came about because back in the day of the old county hospitals, people would show up at an emergency room at maybe one of the private hospitals, and they would be referred on down the road to the county hospital because they didn't have insurance. And so in order to make sure, part of the abbreviation of EMTALA has to do with maternity. So we had women who were actively laboring in a parking lot, and they were being sent to a different hospital. Mm. So the federal government said no more.
It ruins it for everybody. So, all right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back to that in urgent care. We're also going to talk about physicians and nurses employed and recruiting and retention and all that good stuff. Stick with us. We're talking to Leilani Salama, Vice President of Community Engagement at Salem Health. And you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne in KYKN's Capital Auto Group Studios. We're talking to Leilani Salama, Vice President of Community Engagement at Salem Health, and a wealth of knowledge. She is overseeing a lot of programs for Salem Health. So thank you for being here. I know you're very busy.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's really great. And I have an opportunity for the listener to learn more about Salem Health and its footprint and its economic impact and its levels of care. And all of its different offerings that it has. So we're talking before the break, and we talked actually a little bit during the break about the distinction between what should go to an emergency room and what should go to urgent care. And Salem Health has an urgent care clinic there off in Bellevue, which is a very confusing street because it starts out as like Trade, and then it's Pringle Parkway, and then it's Bellevue.
That's why I always tell people it's right next to the Ram.
There you go.
Pull into the Ram parking lot, and you've got...
And head west. That's
refreshment and urgent care all in the same place.
So if you do have a strep throat, or if you need stitches or something, there's bones not sticking out of your body, you can go to urgent care.
Correct.
But there are regulations, and that really surprised me because if I'm at the emergency department, they call it, right? And there's a three-hour wait. It would be a courtesy to me for you to say, I think you'd be seen quicker and get your pain alleviated faster if you went across the street. But you can't tell them that.
We cannot. Once they're within our walls, actually within 200 feet of our emergency room door, we're required to treat them. We're required for them to see a provider.
Okay. And so it seems, it would seem on its set that it would be a service to tell them, hey, you'll see a qualified doctor, you'll see them faster, you'll be home sooner, you'll get, whatever.
But I think you're
prohibited from doing that because of regulations.
Yeah, the service.
Who would have guessed that?
Yeah. And most people don't understand that. And so that's why it's really frustrating when you're sitting in an emergency room, waiting room, and you've been there for 4 or 5 hours and you think you're the next person up. And then what happens is what you don't see is on the backside, we've had a multi-vehicle accident that's coming in through the ambulance bay, or we've got a stroke victim who's coming in, or God forbid, a gunshot victim. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all those kinds of things that never come in through the waiting room that you don't see. And so it just feels like you're waiting and there isn't a good reason. So I think the service, Brent, is for people to know before they need the emergency room that there are these other options available in the community in terms of urgent care. And even a smaller emergency room like West Valley is a great place to go. You're not going to spend as much time waiting there just simply because of sheer numbers.
Well, Salem Health is running the busiest emergency department between San Francisco and Seattle.
The Canadian border.
Oh, the Canadian border.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, that is great to know. So next to the Ram, just west of the Ram, there's a parking lot there.
Come see
for urgent care. Other areas of the community, I know there's some West Salem, South Salem, and even Salem Clinic operates its own urgent
they
care.
They do. They have their own urgent care.
So that would that would helpful because it's the most expensive way to provide the care,
you
right?
Can also, you can also go online and schedule a virtual care visit. So you're Skyping or FaceTiming with a doctor online.
Yeah.
Well, an option as well.
For those of people that change that habit and that method of receiving care, that's going to help everybody. It's going to lower the cost of care because it's the most expensive way to deliver it. And it's going to quicken the wait times.
Correct.
For people that do that are there and so forth. Good stuff. I would never have guessed that. And sometimes regulations are aimed towards something and they're solving a problem we didn't even know existed. And the problem you were mentioning is that hospitals that didn't necessarily like your type. Maybe you don't have insurance or this or that, and they would advise them to go down the road, right?
Yeah, and that MTAL has been in place for decades. So, I mean, it was something that was occurring a long time ago, but now it's a federal requirement that all hospitals adhere to.
All right, so let's talk about it a little bit. We were talking about recruiting doctors, specialists, collaborating with doctors in local clinics, and of course, nurses, because everybody talks about nurses. We had the president of Chemeketa on last month, and we're talking about training nurses and the nursing program. So how is it as far as recruiting doctors from across the nation have gone to med school and looking for a job?
It's challenging. You know, Salem is a smaller community, and many people graduating and leaving or thinking that they want to live in more of a metropolitan area. And so it's challenging for us to keep employees, younger employees, for any type of job for that reason. But we have a pretty good recruitment plan in place. We partner. So every 2 to 3 years, we do a community needs assessment in terms of what the need is in the community for various specialties. And then, of course, primary care. And we will actually assist other private practice docs. And so, for example, we're trying to help recruit neurologists right now for the community because that's a huge need for us. So we work with, you know, Salem Clinic and WVP, which is the Independent Physicians Association, to help them identify which docs we need to bring to the community, put together packages. You know, we offer incentives like, you know, assisting them with paying back some of their student loans and those types of things to bring them here.
Wow.
We're also recruiting nurse practitioners to alleviate some of that primary care access problem, bringing them in. And then we partner with our local educational institutions like Chemeketa to try and figure out ways to fill those needs. And a great, I don't know if Julie mentioned it when you interviewed her, but something that has been fantastic for us is they helped us implement a surgical tech program at Chemeketa fill a need that we had at the hospital. And it's been a wonderful partnership. So we continue to work with them and look for opportunities to encourage people to come to Salem, to stay in Salem, and work for Salem Health.
So many jobs in the medical field that pay very well without having to go to med school and be there for a dozen years.
Or absolutely.
What have you. All right, so let's make this clear. When you're talking about recruiting anything from a urologist to a cardiologist, et cetera, and they don't necessarily work for the hospital, right?
No.
You just need them in the community. So
correct.
You're helping private clinics, be they any of these specialties, neurology, gastroenterology, and so forth, and you're helping them so they can fill their ranks
right.
So that you have, because then they get privileges, I don't know how that works, so that they can do their work and their patients can come to the hospital.
Yeah, Salem Health is pretty unique in that, well, in our community, the majority of our physicians are independent.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of health systems, for example, Providence, all of their physicians are employed physicians, so they're employees of Providence.
Oh, really?
But Salem Hospital, most of our physicians are independent, so they're not employed by Salem Health. So they're community physicians or, you know, coming in and using, having hospital privileges like you mentioned, and using the facilities and rounding on their patients, but not necessarily employees of the hospital.
And is that a different model than you see most at other areas of Oregon or specifically in Portland?
I wouldn't say it's different. I would say it's more like it used to be. And, it, you know, it just kind of varies. I mean, some physicians feel very strongly about wanting to be independent. Others like the idea of being employed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a model that works for us. It works in this community.
Okay, so you're talking about some doctors are your employees, that maybe the ER docs.
No, actually, that we contract with Salem Emergency Physicians, so those are not actually our employees. The nurses and techs in the emergency room are, but the physicians are employees of Salem Emergency Room Physicians.
And do you have some in-house hospitalists?
We do.
And that's a specialist specialty in itself.
Right? It is, yeah. And we actually have a variety of teams. So we have a team of hospitalists that work for Salem Health. We have a team of hospitalists that are employed by Kaiser Permanente. So if you're a Kaiser member and you're in our hospital, you'll be seen by a Kaiser Permanente hospitalist. Salem Clinic has a hospitalist team, so their patients are seen by their hospitalists. And that helps improve the continuity of care for patients.
Yeah, which is really important. We really saw that a few years ago and had a family member in there for quite some time. So the hospitalist, for the listener who's not familiar, that's a person that works at the hospital as a doctor that does the rounds at the hospital and sees patients at the hospital and doesn't see patients like at an outside clinic and then come in and see some of their patients that happen to be in the hospital. They're only seeing hospital patients. So you have some that are employed by Salem Health and some in cooperation with Kaiser Permanente. That is really interesting. Real quickly, because we're going to have to take another break here, but the nurses, how's the nurses, the numbers as far as, are you still hiring? Could you use a bunch more? And how do you see that growth?
We do what we call a new grad cohort every year. And so we bring in somewhere between 200 and 250 new nurses every year, and they get a really high level of training for about a year. And so we train them and get them up to speed. And so that's really helped us backfill some of the needs, because we do have nurses that we know will be retiring every year. I can't predict what it'll look like. We know if we're potentially opening another building, we're going to have to bring in more nurses, but we're also looking at alternative models of care delivery. So what can we do, to reduce the number of nurses we need and still meet the needs of the community?
We're talking to Leilani Salama from Salem Health. Leilani, real quick, how many nurses does the Salem Health employ?
That's a great question. I would guess that of the 4,000 employees or so, that close to 2,000 of them are nurses.
Holy cow.
It's a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot. Yeah,
remember, it's a 24/7 operation. So, it's not like everybody goes home at 5 o'clock. We have to keep people there around the clock.
Holy cow. Yeah, we don't have people there around the clock that do the finance, and we don't have so forth. But certainly a lot of departments. That is a huge number. I would not have guessed. I'm glad I asked. All right, we're going to take our last break and come back and ask a few more questions. Thank you for being with us. Stay tuned. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Thank you. It's a new song I wrote about my ranch. I live on a ranch in California. And I just bought it a while ago from these two lawyers. And there was an old man living on it. I don't know if you have things like that here, like foreman on ranches. It's like an old caretaker. It takes care of all the cows, fences, and everything. So I wrote this song for him.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. Today is a fascinating topic where we are always talking about things that affect the lives of Salem and Kaiser, Marion Polk County, our quality of life, our pocketbooks, and the institutions that impact all of these things. We're talking about Salem Health today with Leilani Salama, Vice President of Community Engagement, which is a fabulous title.
Thank you.
Really a fabulous title, Vice President of Community Engagement. And then when you ask her what she does and she starts listing off 12 different things that she has to oversee, I'm exhausted. So more power to you, and thanks for doing all that. And thanks for being here today. So we're talking before the break about hospitalists, about recruiting doctors and specialists, of course, and nurses. and what a huge number of nurses you employ. And what about the retention piece? Because it's one thing to bring them to the community. I like to think of Salem and the Mid-Valley as kind of a Goldilocks population, because not everybody wants to live an urban life. And maybe they can't make enough money to pay off their med school loans if they have a rural life. But we're in a mid-sized community service area, over 200,000 just in Salem-Keizer alone, so forth. So I like to think that way. Hopefully you have enough recruiters that think that way too and get people to say, well, you can get to the urban community if you want to. It's an hour away. But quality of life in the Mid-Valley is fabulous. So
we certainly push that as much as we can. And, yes, you know, our retention is really an entire package. Mm-hmm. So we look at, you know, we make sure that we're competitive salary-wise.
I was questioning. Am I going to make more money if I'm a doctor in Portland?
Probably, but you're also going to pay a lot more to live there.
Indeed.
Which I think is very important piece of information.
Taxes will be higher. Mm-hmm. Getting around will be more expensive.
Absolutely, right.
The housing is going to be higher. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we look at, you know, make sure that our wages are competitive. We make sure that our benefits package is competitive. We look at, you know, what are we offering in terms of just a culture that makes it a great place to work. Mm. And we have been recognized as a top workplace in the Willamette Valley, actually in the state of Oregon, for the last 3 years. So we're really proud of that. And we work really hard to make sure that our focus is around strategic improvement and, of course, patient safety. No patient harm is acceptable to us. So we want to make sure that all the work we're doing is really has the patient at the center of it, while remembering at the same time that our employees are part of our community and could potentially be our patients. So making sure we're helping them stay as healthy and as excited about coming to work as we can.
One of the most expensive things in business, in any type of business, is employee turnover. So that retention, as far as not getting recruited or poached away from another community, or, you know, a couple more dollars, but also burnout is probably an issue as well. Mm-hmm. How are we doing on retention of people once they're in the organization?
Yeah, I mean, it continues to be a challenge. Our turnover rate's about 13%, which industry-wide is fairly standard. I'd say we're probably a little lower than most. Mm-hmm. But burnout is an area we've really focused on. Physician burnout has become more and more prominent as a topic of conversation just across the nation. And we have a variety of initiatives in place. One thing that has really been difficult for physicians is the electronic medical record. So there, we refer to it as pajama time. So they're seeing patients all day long, and then they go home and they're charting on the electronic medical record while they're sitting on the couch, maybe watching television with a spouse or something like that. So we're trying really hard to reduce the amount of pajama time where providers are charting and coming up with different ways, whether that's dictation or you know, technological improvements to help them get the correct information in the chart without having to spend their free time to do it.
Wow, it seems on the surface that an electronic medical record would create some efficiencies in over time, but getting everybody on the same plan and making it efficient enough so that you're not taking time away from actually practicing with the patients, it's going to be a challenge.
It's a double-edged sword. Yeah.
Can you take somebody with a tablet and have them follow around the doctor
all
the time?
We do. We actually have scribes in the emergency room. You'll find somebody who's following the physician around, and they're actually doing the charting while that physician is, because then that allows the physician to be fully present with the patient. But that's not something that we do in every single practice. And, you know, it's expensive, so our primary care mm-hmm. physicians can't necessarily provide that service.
Right. And scribe is a great job. I've got some family friends that have taken place in that role. And it's a great role for people who are going to learn to be a physician's assistant, mm-hmm. right? Going to maybe be an RN or a nurse practitioner in the future, or maybe go to med school and they're waiting for med school applications.
Yep,
and at least they can be in the medical environment and get some experience. So, okay. So turnover is an issue. Let's talk real quickly. We've got a couple of minutes about the foundation, because you said there's two foundations. Of course, there's Salem Health and its governance for its operation. But what role does the foundation play?
So the foundation works really hard to make sure that they're advancing the mission of Salem Hospital itself. So speaking specifically about the Salem Health Foundation, they have moved their focus to how can they both advance the mission of the hospital and also serve the needs of the community in the same one fell swoop. So a great example of that was when we built the inclusive playground on the corner of Mission and Church Street. And that was something that our physical therapists and occupational therapists use for patients as they're working their way through rehab, but it's also open to the entire community to come and use, and the pieces of equipment there are inclusive, regardless of your ability. You can still swing in a swing or ride the merry-go-round and those kinds of things. And their most recent project is a medical respite center in partnership with Salem Housing Authority, and that's it's a wonderful project.
I wish I had another hour. I keep telling, just push off Kevin and talk for another hour. about that facility, that playground, I want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you. Because
I knew it required a lot of community engagement and not necessarily a lot of, some controversy. But to me, that was more critical for the community. I don't have any memories of the old building, right? I was not tied to it, so I'll grant, that argument. But I think what the community needed trumped it. And I want to thank you for sticking with it and the whole Salem Health and the foundation for bringing that to the community.
Well, every time I walk by that playground and it's filled with laughing voices, that's the repayment itself. So thanks for saying that.
You bet. I wish we had more time to talk more about the foundation and talk about some of the changes we see in care in hospital settings that you see. But perhaps you'll come back and talk to us another time.
Well, thank you.
We have been talking to Leilani Salama, Vice President of Community Engagement, and I have a lot of practice in your name now, so I hope to always get it right. From Salem Health, you've been great.
Thank you,
appreciate
Brent.
The information, and if there's anything we can do to help to get the word out or to communicate, be sure to come back on the show.
Thanks for the opportunity.
And we'll talk more about the foundation and the role it plays. Lots of great work in support of Salem Health's mission and the community healthfulness. So thanks so very much. You've been listening to Newsmakers at the Noon Hour on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.